20th Century Blandford. This cabinet contains objects from both world wars and peacetime, including on the second shelf down, a gas mask and china dating from both wars. On the third shelf down, a soldier's service book from World War II, a 1950s goggle-like viewer for 3D images, and a portable Brother typewriter from the 60s. On the bottom level is a leather football with team signatures from 1934 to 35, when the Blandford United Football Club won the Senior Cup. There's also a World War II football-type rattle used by air raid wardens to warn people of a gas attack. Let's concentrate on cycles, cars and cinemas. By the last decade of the 19th century, bicycles, cycle shops and mechanics were everywhere, and Blandford Cycling Club had its headquarters at the new Cottage Hospital. One year, the club competed in the 100-mile road race, taking in Sherborne, Bere Regis, Christchurch and Wimborne on the way. Riders left the Cottage Hospital at 8:30 in the morning, and the winner, J.D. Vanner, arrived at the Crown in 6¾ hours, including stops at level crossings. An overzealous policeman once charged club cyclists with riding furiously on the Blandford St Mary Road between lines of spectators, but the case was thrown out as they were, of course, racing. Our photo on the floor of this cabinet is marked circa 1900 and shows these mustachioed boy racers in knickerbockers, caps, bowlers and boaters. They wear rosettes and medals and display their club trophies. Many cycle mechanics became motor mechanics when cars arrived in Blandford at the turn of the century, and we have some brass motoring lamps on the top shelf of our display, along with a bicycle lamp from World War II, which has a dipped light to stop it from illuminating the road to enemy aircraft overhead. Arthur Conyers was one cycle agent who began selling cars, and he owned a 1905 Humberette with two gears at a top speed of 25 miles per hour. On the same shelf is a photo of Conyers in his car in the marketplace, and its number plate is BF18, the Dorset registration. The size, speed and smell of these newfangled machines annoyed horse riders, carters and pedestrians, and the BF on the number plate gave rise to shouts of "Bloody fools!" as a car spluttered past. On the same shelf is the precursor of the driving licence. It's a tiny blue booklet holding a driving certificate issued by the London School of Motoring. Dated 1911, this one states that G.F. Morris is an efficient motor driver and can manage cars in any traffic. Good to know. In the cabinet to the right, the back wall holds printed images of 20th century Blandford. Taken in July 1906, one photo shows the marketplace illuminated for the borough tricentenary, which was marked in 1905 by a ball in the Corn Exchange. But the major celebrations were held in 1906, the start of the borough's fourth century. Strings of fairy lamps hang like dewdrops over the marketplace. Comet-like trails fill the night sky, and the arches and windows of the Corn Exchange and surrounding buildings are outlined in lights. The marketplace itself is lined with high arches of illuminated greenery, and out of sight there's a temporary bandstand near the Bastard Pump for the grand evening ball. It was to be another 8 years before the first private electricity arrived in Blandford, and we have a photograph of the first domestic generator. It was installed in 1914 in the cellar of Westcott's The Jewellers at 5 Market Place. The generator may have run on kerosene and provided 100 volts and 20 amps, that's 2 kilowatts, and it still works. Gas for lighting and cooking remained the norm for most, as the Blandford Electric Light Company was still a decade away. One Blandford gas lamp became electrified and still hangs in the shambles at the front of the Corn Exchange. With electricity came the ability to pump and treat the water for a public swimming pool on the Ham, which opened in 1924. Our photo shows the pool area lined with fully dressed onlookers, and two swimmers stand right on the edge at the deep end, as if waiting for the signal for the inaugural plunge. Electricity also powered a cinema, and Blandford's first cinema may have previously existed as a gaslit theatre until around 1912, when it presumably installed a generator to run the projectors. The Palace Cinema was in East Street, created from two cottages next to the White Hart, now the Dolphin. Our photo shows the original palace as it looked in 1925 when it screened The Merry Widow. Above the doors is a billboard with a cutout of American actress Mae Murray, limply swooning in the passionate embrace of fellow American actor John Gilbert. As this film was made in the days of silent movies, music was needed to create atmosphere, so the screening was accompanied on the cinema's piano by Alf Fletcher from Pimpern.